on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, there are archives to this show and many others, and I encourage you to go there and check all of those out and donate if you can, or purchase some of the fine products from our very understanding, caring, and loving sponsors. It's a kind of like a family network. In fact, it literally is a family network. There's the Romero family that runs the whole boards and keeps the whale oil lamps burning behind the scenes. And, well, basically, without your support, the wonderful listeners, the intelligent part of the truth movement, we hope, we would not exist. Thank you very much for all your support. Now, let's get to our guest. We have Danny Panzella. Danny, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm very glad to have you here. Could you please elaborate just as to who you are and what it is you do?
Okay. Well, my name is Danny Panzella. I'm a native New Yorker, born and raised in New York City. And I do a lot of things. Currently, my active projects are the Peaceful Streets Project, New York City. So we're basically cop watching and doing Know Your Rights trainings, teaching people in New York City, especially the youth, how to stand up to the police assertively yet peacefully in a way that does not escalate a situation where they might be in danger of the police using their state-sanctioned violence on them. But we're, you know, trying to teach kids how to peacefully stand up for their rights and assert their rights so that the police cannot intimidate them into voluntarily surrendering their rights. That's one of my active projects.
May I also ask, with cop watching, is it anything like bird watching? Like, do you have to have, like, a specific type of call like in order to attract them? You know, like, wee, wee! I'm kidding.
Well, we generally try not to attract the police. It's a good cop watching outing if we don't see any cops.
Well, what do? Do you spray yourself with mace or something and it acts as a cop repellent?
No, we just honestly we just kind of patrol the streets of hotspot areas, and if we see police activity, we videotape it. And what we're looking to do is encourage the community to do the same. The goal is really that if a cop stops somebody, that every witness in the area will pull out their cell phone and start video recording. And I like to say it this way. The NYPD has an extensive surveillance system in New York City, and I want to create an extensive We the People surveillance system, because when our surveillance system never has those inconvenient, technical difficulties, you know, like when a cop abuses someone or violates their rights and the video just happens to disappear, the camera...
Or Princess Diana goes along a route in France and 14 cameras simultaneously coincidentally fail.
Exactly. So with the We the People's surveillance system, if there's, you know, five or six witnesses and everybody whips out their cell phones and records it, then we've got full coverage of the event. You know, there's not going to be any lying on the stand.
You'd hope so, because you have a look at the guy who was beaten to death in Los Angeles, I believe, and everybody who pulled out their cell phones got them confiscated, and quite presumably the footage will get deleted.
That's true. That's true. One of the ways that we can avoid that is by live streaming directly to the internet while you're on your phone. You can use an app from Ustream or Livestream or Quick, and you can live stream right onto the internet, so that way there's always a video archive. Even if they delete it off the phone, the video still exists in the interwebs and can be retrieved later.
So when you do live stream, it actually records it as you're filming it and keeps it online, right?
Yes, it stores it on your online server, so people can watch it happening live. A lot of times it auto posts on Facebook and Twitter that you're broadcasting live, so people can watch it live, so you have, you know, a million more internet witnesses. And then at the same time, it archives the video as well, so that it's safe for later use.
That's ingenious.
Yeah, it's a great, we've developed a cop watching manual. So if any of your listeners are interested in doing this, you can go to Peaceful Streets NYC and download the manual. And I think the manual is pretty much universal. You can use it anywhere. You might have to tweak it according to the laws in your area. But for the most part, I think the philosophy that we put forth in the manual and the techniques we put forth in the manual are universal, that you can use them anywhere.
Yeah. I still think it'd be quite funny, you know, walking down New York Street and all of a sudden you hear those caw, 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 caw. It was like somebody watching a cop.
I think people would, that's not environmental sound you generally hear. I don't know if that's the way it is in Auckland, but in New York City, we don't really hear those kind of sounds. So that might sound out of place.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you could disguise yourself as a pimp or a heroin dealer or something, you know?
Right.
And blend in with the background.
If that was the case, then we would have to be one of the NYPD sanctioned pimps or heroin dealers, because, you know, the NYPD acts as a, kind of like a mafia enforcer, and they push out all the drug dealers and pimps that aren't sanctioned by the NYPD, but they let the ones that are sanctioned do business freely as long as they pay their cut. So,
yeah, I mean, that's basically extortionate racketeering and all of that kind of stuff, isn't it? You know, you can commit crimes, and we're the ones who are supposed to stop you from committing crimes, but hey, if you give us a cut of your crime and proceeds, that's fine.
Absolutely.
We'll use it to buy extra stuff that we can surveil innocent people with.
Right. Well, they learned this technique from the FBI and CIA.
Yeah. I had a realization about the CIA and FBI. If there's a terrorist attack that gets diverted and, the person gets arrested beforehand, before he commits the crime, it's usually set up by the FBI. But if there's a terrorist attack where they actually go through with it, it's usually set up by the CIA.
That's a pretty good analysis. I think you're right on point with that one.
Yeah, my girlfriend walked into the house one time and she said, "Vinny, did you hear about this car bomb in Times Square?" I said, "Oh, don't worry, baby, it's probably just the FBI." And it was.
It's sick. It's really sick. But yeah, they have to justify their budgets.
How did you get into all of this, Danny? I mean, did you have a bad experience with some cops or something like that, messing you around and lying in the court or something?
No, not personally. I think that, I got started in the movement via 9/11 Truth. So I started out with We Are Change New York City and Luke Gradowski down at Ground Zero, handing out pamphlets and DVDs, educating people about 9/11. And, we used to get harassed by the cops quite often, and I guess that's probably where it was. I'm a fairly intelligent guy, and I'm not intimidated by police because I grew up, in a very middle class area where there are a lot of cops. A lot of my family are cops, so I'm like, when the cops would lie to me, I'm not like some uneducated person that I don't know they're lying, and I would just call them out. And I guess it kind of, maybe it's a little, I'm a little what's the word? I have maybe bravado because of my upbringing, and I just was like, "You're lying. Go try that on someone else who's going to believe you." And then I started to realize that this is a real technique that the police use. Is they're just trying to intimidate you. They will lie right to your face to intimidate you or to convince you to surrender your rights voluntarily. And that's why I said, you know what? I've got to start teaching people that maybe don't understand and don't know what their rights are, what their rights are, first of all, and how they can peacefully but assertively stand for those rights. So one of the things that we teach is when a cop approaches you and starts asking you questions, your first question is, am I being detained? If they say no, from that point forward, you just walk away. Because if they say no and you stay there and continue to have a conversation with them, you are now volunteering to be questioned. And anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. So we're teaching people to just walk away. If the cop does not let you walk away and says, yes, you are being detained, then your next response is, well, I'm sorry, officer, I don't answer questions without my attorney present. So, and at that point, the cop either has to arrest you and bring you in and get your attorney, or they'll decide to let you go. So it frustrates that process of them trying to intimidate you or coerce you into voluntarily submitting your rights and then answering whatever their questions are. Because no cop is your friend. They're not looking to have a conversation. Even if they're asking you for the time, they're not really looking to have a conversation. They're trying to ascertain probable cause or reasonable suspicion to search you. That way they can write you a summons or possibly arrest you to make their quotas. And regardless of what Ray Kelly and Mayor Bloomberg constantly say, that there are no quotas, they call them performance goals. Many, many whistleblowers have come out of the NYPD saying, yes, there are quotas. Yes, we were told we would be punished. We would be denied the tours we want. We'll be denied vacation days if we don't meet our quotas. So just the simple act of refusing to answer questions, pleading the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, can frustrate that whole process and stop it dead in its tracks.
I would love to interview one of these whistleblowers, Danny, if you could hook me up, bro.
Oh, absolutely. There's many of them. We hold one of the organizations I'm involved with, the Police Reform Organizing Project. We hold a forum every year, and it's called From Behind the Blue Wall of Silence. And we have about five or six retired NYPD detectives and captains who they'll quite openly talk about all of this. And, you know, some of them are minorities themselves. Some of them are African American or Latino. And they talk about the fact that it doesn't matter if you're a cop, if you're black or Latino, because there is even the cops are racist against you. So it didn't matter as a police officer. One of the cops had said that there were several times he was attacked by police officers in the street while he was on duty. He wasn't in uniform. He was undercover. But because he was a black man and he had dreadlocks, he would be attacked by his fellow officers just because he was black. And then he would have to pull out his badge before they saw that he had a gun. Because if they saw he had a gun, they would assume it was an illegal gun and they might shoot him dead.
Yeah, see, apparently, if you're going to, what was it, Michael Moore did an episode of The Awful Truth, and he talked about how many black men are actually shot to death, like in their homes and things of that nature, by the trigger-happy NYPD for pulling out something like a cell phone or a chocolate bar or something of that nature. Sure. And he said that the way to avoid this from happening is to only eat Nutrageous Dayglow Orange Wrapper chocolate bars because it can't be mistaken for a gun.
Yeah. Well, it's a sad truth. I think that, unfortunately, the minority communities are just not strong enough to go up against the NYPD as hard as they fight. I think the NYPD takes full advantage of that. And until people stop complying with the police, because there's still a large portion of those communities that are very mainstream and they believe that, you know, the police should be respected and all this. And so they're not willing to really stand up and say, look, what you guys are doing. They make excuses. Oh, well, that was just one bad cop. Really? No, it's not just one bad cop. It's the racist system based on racism, and the philosophy of the NYPD is completely wrong. And unfortunately, the NYPD serves as a model for police departments all over the planet.
Now, you've heard about the the bad apple philosophy. Oh, that one, the cop's just a bad apple. And in my opinion, it's actually just a bad barrel that corrupts good apples.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. That I 100% agree with. There are certainly police officers who get into it for the right reasons. They want to protect people. They want to, you know, keep people safe. And the system forces them, like with this quota system, the system forces them to do things they shouldn't be doing. So, for instance, the NYPD's own stop and frisk tactic, statistics rather, say that out of every 100 people that are stopped and frisked, only 6 are guilty of some sort of crime. Now, whether that's an infraction like holding a little bit of marijuana or a small knife or a weapon or all the way up to, you know, having a gun on them or whatever it is. I don't have specifics on how many out of that 6, what the nature of the crime is. But out of 6, out of 100, only 6 are being written a ticket or arrested. So what that says is, and the police are supposed to be able to identify reasonable suspicion before they stop you. So that says to me that either the police are so poorly trained that they don't know what reasonable suspicion is, that they are wrong 94 times out of 100, or they're just stopping everyone who they feel like stopping because they think they're going to be able to write a summons to make their quota. And obviously, I believe it's the latter that is the truth. And even good cops, unfortunately, have to make their quotas, or they're punished, or because that's their paycheck, and they have to feed their family.